for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, September the 4th, 1993. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack and Carol Canada are the ministers of the afternoon from Phoenix, Arizona.
Well, we'll do it.
He was sitting beside me on a passenger seat. I looked through the windshield at the quiet little street. He was smiling so proud as he handed me the keys. Deep down inside, he was as nervous as me. I said, "Daddy, my daddy, are you sure I know how? You sure that I'm ready to drive this car now?" He said, "I'm right here beside you, and you're gonna do fine. Son, all you gotta do is keep it between the lines. 'Cause it's your sitting in my chair, kind of sneaking a look at him lying on the floor with his color and book. And he caught me watching and he climbed up on my knees. Said, "Daddy, my daddy, would you do one with me?" And I hugged him so tightly that I turned the page. Said, "I haven't done this, son, since I was your age." He said, "I'm right here beside you, and you're gonna do fine. Daddy, all you gotta do is keep it between the lines." So I finished the kitchen, and I put him to bed. I got down on my knees, and I bowed my head. I said, "Father, my father, I feel so alone. Sure that I can reason, the world says I'm wrong." And that answer came back, was so gentle, so low. The words of my dad, so long ago, said, "I'm right here beside you, and you're gonna do fine. Son, all you gotta do is keep it between the lines. Just keep your hands on the wheel and believe in the things that are real. Just take your time, keep it between the lines. Just take your time, keep it between the lines."
Song, we'll begin to come to. I want to make sure we have enough time to minister to the people today. I heard a song the first time. It's been around a long time. I mean, it's not a long time, but a while. But it really ministered to my spirit one day. I heard it in a prayer time. I heard it being played, and he just hit my spirit and did something to me. So it has to hit my spirit. If it hits my spirit, it can hit your spirit. And if it don't change me, it'd be difficult for me to help change you. See, I don't like to sing songs at you. I like to sing songs into you. you know. And so we pray the song and sing it to you. How much the Lord really loves you.
He gave me time. No one gave me time of day. He looked deep inside while the rest of the world looked away. You see, he smiled at me. There were just frowns everywhere. Yes, there was. But he gave me love when nobody gave a prayer. That's why I call him my Savior. That's why I call him my friend. He touched my heart. He touched my You see, he gave me laughter after I cried all those tears. He looked deep inside, the rest of the world turned their ears. And I looked in his eyes, and I saw that his tears was there. Because he gave me love, nobody gave me a prayer. Oh, and that's why I call him my Savior. That's why I call him my friend. He touched my heart, he touched my soul.
Share something also, a little commercial for us before I get started in the Word. Turn my volume down on this number 8 there a little bit. This is off. Yeah. No, the other one. The other 8. There we go. Can you hear me okay? Doesn't pierce nobody's ears? I hope not. My wife and I, we do 2 conferences a year in Arizona. Our ministry does. One's in November and one's in March. And the November conference is open to anybody that wants to come, and adults primarily. And we deal with adult issues. Then in March, we do a couples conference. We did our first couples conference this last March. We'll probably be doing it again. We will be doing it again this next March, if the Lord permits. And we deal with areas that block relationships from being developed, you know. Most of your churches deal with the mechanics of marriage and these types of things, the do's and don'ts, the date nights, and these type of things. But Carol and I, we're kind of like the Ghostbusters, you know. We kind of go in there and try and just deal with the issues that stop or try to hinder, that hinders husband and wife from flowing to each other. You know, perhaps it could be a father situation, a domineering situation from the mother. It could be an ex-spouse, there's an unhealthy soul alliance that might be there. A variety of things that can stop that or hinder that. It could be molestation as a child from either side, that they sexually can't give themselves to each other and permit. And so we deal with all those areas in our marriage conference. And this last conference we did, my wife did a teaching on romance, sex, and marriage. And she doesn't really hold anything out. I mean, she really lays it on the table. And I was really surprised and very impressed. I kid her, but there's things I even blushed over, you know. But it wasn't that bad, really wasn't. She never would let me see her notes, and I heard it the first time like everybody else did, and I had my handkerchief up shaking, amen, sister, go on, you know? So she was really, really going good with this. It's an excellent tape. If I had a way of doing it, I'd give this tape to every married couple in this country, man. It just does the job. And of course, I got the second building here. I did one on shame, and we'll be touching on that a little bit later on, perhaps. But it was, yeah, huh? I was ashamed of the first time, David. No, yeah, we dealt on shame. We had that conference. We had, I guess, about 80 couples, Deanna, something like that. 77 couples for our first conference, and we have it at the Woodlands Plaza Hotel in Flagstaff, Arizona, which is a 4-star hotel. It's really a nice place to go, and it's really we're having our conference this next November there too. And the brochure is on the back. It's $83 a couple, a room, for two people, two nights, and that's inclusive. That's tax and everything. That's the whole deal. You have to make a reservation through us, and there's those that can come. We'd love to have you be a part of that, and. Glenn Ermus, they informed us they're going to be coming too before we got our brochure out, so we didn't know that we were going to use them at the altars for sure to help us pray through some. Last time they were there, they had a couple that came. How long we know? 16 years. We've known this couple 16 years. And they came to the altar conference from Glenn. It was last morning, Sunday morning. And Glenn Ermus come down and they just want some prayer. This couple did. And Glenn Ermus turned to them. And everybody else was, you get it kind of breaking up. And so Glenn looked at us and said, you been Catholics? He said, yeah, we were Catholics. Burn that Catholic spirit up! And I tell you, it was like somebody locked the door, man, here we go, you know? And they went, got beside themselves, but they got right to the juggler, you know? You know? Sometimes you just gotta, you know, do it like it is, amen? And they didn't hold back up. I mean, I'm kind of a tactful type guy sometimes. I like to be tactful, but sometimes I go to the juggler. You gotta know when to be tactful, when not to be, amen? And that was one of them times where they didn't need no theology, they needed deliverance, you know what I'm saying? And they got it, too. I mean, she sat there and whined and cried for 2 hours, I guess, after that. I mean, it's like broke loose off of her, man. She was contained, but the Lord set her free. Praise God. So, at any rate, I don't know how I got off on with that, but we did. So, I'm saying to come to our conference, would you? We'll have a good time. These tapes are back there for $10 a set. I tell you what, they'll change your life. Not because we did them, but just the Lord just did some neat things that weekend. The date's the November 5th, 6th, and 7th. It's the first weekend of November. First weekend of November. So Deanna's the guy you got. Raise your hand, Deanna. You heard her. She works with us in our ministry. She's ordained with us, and she not only helps us, she does a multitude of things above just ministering. You know, how many know there's other things besides just ministering? Ask Glenn Irma. You know, there's things that have to be done that, you know, even John Starnes, when John Starnes was part of Jimmy Swagger's organization, he did all the airline reservations and booked everybody and made sure everything was in order. He did a lot of things besides sing. See, if y'all think you're a singer, you're just going to go and just sing. I got news for you. You're going to be sitting down a while because you ain't ready yet. Hear me? See, if you just want to preach the word, I got news for you. You're going to have to get there and get your hands dirty a little while. It takes some while. You know what I'm saying? Amen? Y'all can say amen anytime you want to. It won't disturb me at all. Amen. Let's turn to Micah 7:7-8. Can we do that? I love this scripture. I use it a lot, and I use the illustration a lot. We're just going to go through it real quick. Micah 7:7-8. It's on page 1327 for those that have a Spirit-filled Bible. New King James Spirit-filled Bible. Micah 7:7-8 says something like this. It says, y'all there? When you're there, raise your hand.
What page
is that again? It's on 1327, brother. Micah 7:7-8 says something like this. Therefore, I will look to the Lord. See, we got to look to Him. Amen? Look to the Lord. I will wait for the Lord of my salvation. That's difficult sometimes, too, isn't it? My God will hear me whenever I look to Him, and when I wait on Him, He'll hear me. Amen? He will hear me. Verse 8 says, do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. Amen? When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. I tell a story quite often about my brother, Jerry Seville. How many know who Jerry Seville is? Jerry Seville, when he first started to preach, he began to minister on this large platform. And It was real rather long on both ends. It was kind of dark. And he began to preach. He was running back and forth. He was preaching and getting wild and crazy. And he said, I was young, full of zeal. And so I got to the end of one platform, so I went right off the end of it. So I went right off the end of this thing and landed right in the drums. Like, well, wham, you know. Cymbals crashing, snare drums flying, people looking around us. And it was kind of dark. Nobody could really see. And he sat down there in the middle of them drums. And he looked around and said, God, what do I do now? And God said, get up, fool. He said, you got to keep on preaching. So he said, I got back up. I got on the platform and just kept on preaching. Here I was, see. And so he got through. This lady come down and began to talk to him. And says, Bruce, I know she had some difficulty on the end there. So what happened to you? He said, well, don't pay no attention to that. He said, did you see how I got up? He said, though I fall, yet shall I rise, you know. He said, don't look at my fall, look at my rise. And I think a lot of us, we spend a lot of time looking at the fall and still looking at the rise. Amen? See, we might fall from time to time, but God's people fall up. We don't fall down. See, we're going to heaven. See? And we fall up. See, I said, if I fall, I fall up. Hallelujah. See, I don't mean falling down. God's people don't fall. Say, God's people don't fall down. We fall up. Because every time we go, we're going to learn something from it. We should. Amen? So God's people fall up. He was talking about his other incident. He was in a mall and had an escalator in his mall. And his black brother, he got kind of got in front of him. And Jerry's a little guy. He ain't as tall as I am. He's probably about 5'5", maybe 5'6", I guess, something like that. And he said, got in his mall and his brother got on ahead of him. He had a white suit on and a white hat. And stays back in the 60s. Things were styles were different. He had little thin sunglasses. And these high-heeled beetle boots, you know. And the beetle boots were good, except they weren't made for escalators. He said, he got on his escalator, and all of a sudden the escalator changed their dimension. Here he was. You know? He said, Jerry, so I was on behind him. I looked down, here he was. He rolled down that escalator. He said, all I saw was black and white, black and white, black and white. He said, all of a sudden he landed right on his feet like this. And just kept on walking. Like, that's how you get off an escalator. He said, man, he said, I couldn't believe it. He let it right on his feet. Did he miss a stroke? Man, like, hey. He said, I was so impressed with that boy's rise, I didn't pay attention to his fall. I couldn't believe how he rose out of thing. See, though we fall, yet shall we rise. Amen? How many know we have difficulty? We're going to rise above it. Amen? We're going to get past it. We're going to win. God's team, like the brother said last night, I read the end of the book and we won. Hey, we went all the way through this book. Hello? We went all the way through it. See? When we meet God's conditions and do what He said for us to do and become an obedient people, I think if I could say one word against the body of Christ today, it's the word obedience. We're disobedient people. And disobedient people receive consequences. Hello? Get quiet again. See how quiet it gets when you start talking like that? Say amen. Y'all miss a good spot. Say amen. I ain't going to be pointing fingers at you today. I'm not. I'll let God do that. See, I'm just going to mention some things. Amen. Let's look at an illustration here. About, we was taking up an offering earlier. You know, remember? And I want to tell you a story. It's a hypothetical story. But it gets a point across, see? This $50 bill and this $20 bill and this $1 bill, they was out talking, see? And that $50 bill said to one of them, says, hey, you know, I said, wait, I get to travel all over the world. He said, I go to resorts. I've been to Hawaii. I go to Australia. I go everywhere. And he said, I asked the $20 bill. I said, where do you go? $20 bill said, man, I go to restaurants and have dinner, you know. Haven't made it overseas much. I've had some nice dinners and such. The $1 bill says, they asked the $1 bill, where do you go? I said, oh, I just go from church to church. Hello? They would give a $1 bill offering back when I got saved 20 years ago. See, I have a difficulty. And see, the offering's been taken, so I can talk like this. I ain't trying to get your money tomorrow. But see, God's, you know, He's saying, hey, you give more in the restaurant than you do in God's house. Something wrong. Yeah, I got to save my money for McDonald's. Say, come on. I made a statement last time. I believe it's happening. I see it everywhere I go. God's, He's starting to line people's income up according to their giving. You know when Jimmy Swagger's thing came down, I'm getting off on things a little bit. I won't get off on that, but y'all sort it out, okay? And Jimmy Swagger and all that stuff came down, remember, and Baker, man, their resources just stopped. But the difficulty was, people said, I got a reason not to give. See? They didn't rechannel it. Because there are worthy ministries. See, don't you know there is? You know there is. They didn't reach channel, they just hung on to it. I got an excuse now. They all like that, see. Now, come on. God's saying, hey, that's enough of that stuff. Because I tell you what, you know, God has put us in places, and he'll move us around. If you don't want to support the ministries God's put in your midst, he'll move them somewhere else. He'll move them where they will. That's us or anybody else. Let's look at Abraham Lincoln a second, okay? Abraham, you ain't going to find him in the Bible. Everybody goes, I said, look at Abraham Lincoln. Everybody goes, okay. Where's he at? Is that behind Jonah? They were scrambling for the pages. Well, I mean, this. Yeah, what? Hey, where's Abe at? Help me out. Well, I tell you, I love to laugh. Don't you like to laugh? You know why I like to laugh? I was so miserable before. I tell you what, I think God's people need to have fun. Not at the expense of other Christians, amen, but still have fun. So Abraham Lincoln, look at Brother Abe here. In 1831, Abraham Lincoln failed in business. 1832, he was defeated for the legislature. 1833, he failed again in business. 1836, he suffered a nervous breakdown. 1838, he was defeated for Speaker of the Legislature. 1840, he was defeated for Elector. 1843, he was defeated for Congress. He's getting old, ain't it? 1848, he was defeated again for Congress. 1855, he was defeated for Senate. 1856, he was defeated for Vice President. 1858, he was defeated again for Senate. 1860, he was elected President of the United States and preserved the Union. 29 years of defeat, but he ended up with the highest office the country had to give. Yeah, we have some problems in this nation, don't we? I want to tell you something. The United States is kind of like the Noah's Ark. We might have a little stench from time to time, but we're still the best thing floating. You know what I'm saying? And we need to take notice of the time we have and use it for productivity of the Lord. Begin to put the gospel out as much as we can, off as we can, and get off our hindsides and begin to do what God's called us to do. Amen. I want to talk to you today about destiny a little bit. We're going to zero in on some areas, okay? Amen. I believe that we all have a destiny. Do you believe that? I believe every person in this room has a destiny and a call in your life, and God has a place for you and a direction for you to go to. The difficulty we've had is trying to find that groove and moving into it and do what God's called us to do. Amen. We all need a vision. When we have a vision, a sense of destiny, when we have a destiny and a sense of direction or a vision from God, that will eliminate fear. Did you know that? Fear dissolves when you have a direction from God. See, when you hear from Him and He says, this is what I want you to do, this is where I want you to go, you say, yeah, God spoke that, I know it. And fear just kind of disappears. Amen? But a people without a vision, without a destiny, without a word from the Lord, they're very fearful. Because they're unshaky. They're on shaky ground. See, we got to get a vision. Amen? We have to have a direction in our life. And it's got to be a direction from Him. See, from Him. See? So, without a vision, people perish or they go wilder. The Word of God, in some translations, says they're without restraint. See? They're wilder. They're crazy. But the product of this, the product of vision is discipline. See, when you have a vision and a direction, discipline just falls in. See, yeah, I'm going that way again. That's what I got to do to get there. See, I have a son he's an Olympic class runner. He's a world class runner, I should say. But I also know a lot of athletes. Just take athletes in general. An athlete knows he has to train to receive the goal he's looking for. See, I didn't have to tell my son ever to get up in the morning and go train. I never once had to wake him up at 5:30 and say, go run. He just did. Because he knew what he had to do to get where he wanted to go. And once you have that direction, nobody's got to tell you to what you have to do to attain. Now, what happens is we try to tell folks how to do things without a vision, without a direction. And that's where the hurts and wounds and all the disturbances. See, once you get a vision, that stuff will fall in place. See, once you get a sense of direction, then this one just goes in. You know what you got to do. So you got to stop a few things. Amen? We're arguing over things that are not us, but the church in general, are arguing over things that don't mean a hill of beans. See? It don't mean a hill of beans. It said, let's deal with the issues here and go on. Get a vision from God and obey Him and go for it. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen? There's couples that come to our office all the time. Used to. Not so many anymore. But we've made a few statements like I'm fixing to make right now. When couples come to our office and sit down for counseling, well, a lot of times what I just tell them, we say, hey, Okay, let's sit down and let's look at it like this. Now, I look at it right in the eye and I say, now what part of God's word don't you want to obey? That's the real deal here. No, I want you to hear my side. No, I want you to hear my side. And you're going to hear him whine and cry for an hour and a half. No. What side, what part of God's word don't you want to obey? And that's where we're at today. Disobedience is what got us in trouble. And it's still getting us in trouble. Amen? Y'all missing a good spot to say amen, I'm telling you. That's a good amen corner. But that's really is good. We've become a nation that has fled responsibility. We don't want responsibility. We want our rights. We want rights. You know, women want rights. Some minority groups want rights. Men want rights. Everybody wants rights. I got a right to do this. I got a right to, you know, come on. Take on some responsibility. I was sharing with Walker and Dee Dee last time I talked. At least Dee Dee anyway. I had a black brother who used to work with me at AT&T about 20 years ago. He's come to me and said this. We got in discussion over something, got an argument. He says, you don't like me because I'm black. I said, no, I ain't it. I just don't like you. And color ain't got to do with it. I just don't like you. I said, nerves come in all kinds of packages. There's some white nerves, there's some black nerves, there's brown nerves. There are nerves everywhere.
Right.
See, so you can't hide behind that much. You know, I mean, you know, our lifestyles and the effects of our living, we're living in poverty. I wasn't raised up with a silver spoon in my mouth. I had things I had to overcome. See? But those things affect your life, but we don't have to camp on them things. You understand? Let's don't camp on that. Let's just deal with them and go on and see what God has for us. See, you know, the devil wants to love to keep us camping. We're not to be settlers. We're pilgrims. We ought to be moving ahead every step of the way. We ought to be changing and moving. The word came this morning about change. The difficult thing about change is this. We're going to have to change.
Amen.
Not really. That's deep, isn't it? The difficulty of change is you got to change. See? You don't like changing your socks, but you don't need to. And if you don't want to, somebody else will tell you about it eventually. So you're going to have to change something sometime. Amen? God wants us to take on responsibility. Let's go to Galatians 4, verse 1, okay? Galatians 4, 1. I want to read this to you a second. Now I'll show you where I'm getting rid of this thing. I mean, God wants us to increase some character in our lives.
Amen.
That's the question. I heard a preacher preach one time, or shared one time. He began to prophesy and carry on all kinds of stuff. And man, I said, I had a hard time with it. I said, man, I can't, this guy, and people just, all the sister woo-woos are going crazy, and brother woo-woos are going crazy. I said, man, is something wrong with me? Is my sensors off, or what is this? I mean, there was no more anointing on that thing than that wall. What's the problem? Is there something wrong here? Is it me? God says, is it me or is it them? What is it? We took it to prayer and began to pray, and God began to show us. He said his character is not lining up with his gifting. And therefore, the anointing is decreased or even stifled completely. See, our character has to come up to the level of our gifting for the anointing to flow. See, what is the anointing? You know what the anointing of God is? It's his approval. See? It's his approval of what you're doing or not doing. See, and until you have that anointing on, resting on you or your ministry or your home, see, then I would suggest that if you don't have that, you don't have this favor yet. You need to deal with the issues that's preventing that. See, and so that the anointing is a favor of God. That's his seal. Saying, I'm blessing this because this is what I want done right now. And character is a strong part of that. We want a quick fix here. See, you know, sometimes people come for deliverance, they want a quick fix. They don't want to deal with the issues. See, they don't want to change their lifestyle, they just want a quick fix. See? You know. And so God said, no, you got to deal with the issues too here. You got to deal with the lifestyles. You know, I began to pray for someone this weekend, and holy, I started praying, and God had something for him. And all of a sudden, I heard his wall came up. I'm like, whoom. I said, wait, what is this? And God said, he got some character problems here. Until he deals with the character problems, there ain't gonna be no nothing's coming from me. Until he deals with this, got some lifestyle he got to change. Hello, got to be some lifestyles got to change, and we all have room for adjustment. Amen. Galatians 4:1 goes something like this. Y'all watch me if you want to. Follow me on this. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. But no, verse 2, but he is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father." Now, the word child there, according to the Hebrew definition, is, and that particular word child there is interpreted this way, or the Greek, I should say. It says, a child is one who is weak in faith and has not developed character. A child is one that is weak in faith and has not developed character. So let's read that again and putting that definition in there. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is weak in faith and has not developed character, he does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. How many know we're joint heirs of Christ? See, but some of us are weak in character. And verse 2 says, but he's under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. There's a point in time for us. And God wants the things changed in us. And as he began to change, then this will begin to develop the character he wants us to go. Then the anointing will fall. The answers to prayer will begin to flow. And you'll see God working things in our life. Amen? So there has to be some character change. I want to talk real quick about Jonah. Y'all ever heard about Jonah? Remember him? How many? Say amen. I tell you what, now, y'all can listen to me sitting down or you can stand up, whichever one keeps you awake. So I might. I was going to get one of these big old. You seen them big old water guns? I was going to buy me one of water guns, some big old shoot 50 feet. Just sit there and whoo, man, just dodge your head. I got you, man. I was going to part your hair with it. I would have, but Lord checked me on it, so I might get myself in trouble. So I thought I better not. So. But I tell you what, Jonah, now Jonah was called to go to Nineveh. Y'all remember that story? How many read about Jonah? How many read about Jonah? Or saw the movie or something, you know? Something, you heard something about Jonah. Pray that'd be good. A guy asked me one time, said, you seen the movie The Bible? I said, no, read the book. You know? I was in an AT&T one time, I was in a locker room, I used to go to my lunchtime, I read my Bible lunchtime. I guess I did every day. And finally, after about 3 weeks, this guy walked in. He'd walk in and see me sitting there reading, and he'd do his stuff. And finally, he walked in one day and said, he looked at me and says, man, ain't you through that book yet? I said, I'm through with it, but he ain't through with me. Amen? He ain't through with me. Amen. When you stop reading the Bible, let the Bible start reading you, then things will begin to change. Amen? You stop carrying the Bible, let the Bible carry you, then things will begin to change. Amen. How many want to be changed? Amen. Say, now you got to be changed and be conformed to His image. Amen. We heard Irma talk this morning about the prophecy about change. We had a lot of words this morning about change. And I believe there's change coming. And it has to take place. We've been asking God to answer prayer for years. Amen. Then when things start changing, we go, wait a minute. You know? He said, hey, you want me to change? You know, you want me to move here? And you can't, if you want me to move, you can't expect things to stay the same. Right. See? They cannot stay the same if you want God to answer prayers. If they stay the same, then you've already arrived. There's no sense of even praying. See? If you want things changed and you ask for change, it might require change on you. Hello? Might require change on you. Okay. Jonah got a call of God to go to Nineveh. Okay? Now, Nineveh was a place he didn't want to go. Is it not me? No, sir. It's like asking a Jew to go to Baghdad and say, I'm going to proclaim the gospel. No, it ain't going to happen. They'll have him on a missile, shooting him on the other side of the fence, I guarantee you. And that's the way Jonah was with Nineveh. It was a bad place to go. He didn't want to go there. So what did he do? He said, Nineveh's that way? He said, here I go. He did a 180. He's going to get a ship to go to Tarsus. Opposite direction. Why is it? The word says, I want to get away from God. Get away from God? Now, that don't sound smart. You know what I'm saying? Here was a guy that God spoke to him. Noah, Jonah, go to Nineveh. I mean, God spoke. Hey, they said, I'm going to get away from you. I'm going to go over here. Yeah, right. You know, wake up. I mean, hey, run from God. So he got on his ship. And the word of God said he paid his own way. That's the first clue. See, when you pay your own way, first clue, you're on a ship in Tarsus. See what I'm saying? Hello? So he paid his own way. Got on his boat. He's heading toward Tarsus. Then a storm come. Here come a storm. I mean, it's getting wild and crazy. I mean, surfer's dream, but he wasn't nobody happy that day. Waves kicking up. Things getting out of hand. Everybody's getting concerned. What did Jonah do? He went down to the bottom of the ship, went to sleep, tried to hide from all this stuff. See? He's trying to hide from it. God didn't stop it. Storm kept coming. All the crew members, the captain's getting crazy. He said, man, help me, guys. This is all paraphrased, of course. You know? And so he said, hey, guys, y'all begin to pray for your God and figure out what's wrong. Something's wrong here. Let's get to praying and find out what's out of joint here. Pray to your God and see which one of these guys are mad. Because one of the guys is upset. And we're at the bottom of this thing, and we got to find which God it is, because we got to settle him down. So that began, the same thing, he finally went down and got Jonah and pulled him up and said, Jonah? He said, hey, you know, get up there and begin pray to your God, whoever your God is. And so Jonah, he began to go, he went to the top. He said, man, he began to spill his guts up. He began to tell him all about it. He said, oh, here, God called me to go to Nineveh. And I didn't want to go. And da, da, da. He, you know, it's like, how many, I used to go to bars before I got saved. I sit there in a bar, and I was under conviction for a year and a half. My wife was praying me through. I was trying to get away from it, too. I was in my ship at Tarsus in this bar. And all of a sudden, this old drunk looks over and says, Jesus loves you. Do you know that? I'm going. Can't drink a beer in privacy. Got to have this Jesus everywhere I go. Say, God will get you. Man, I tell you, he got a hound on you. And so here he was on his ship. As you get to praying, you pray to your God. And so he told Jonah began to tell him a story of what was going down. And he said, well, let's just row to the boat ashore. See? So they get to rowing. See? And the storm increased. See? He tried to do it in the flesh. See? God had a way. God had a purpose. He had a plan. And you do it God's way or the highway. Your choice. But God's... There is no, like the guy said, there ain't no plan B. If there's a plan B, we make it.
Right.
See, God has a plan one, period.
Right.
And if we divert, then they got to make some alterations. But here he was, see. So they said, you got to throw me over. And they didn't want to. They said, man, I guess murder. We can't do that. And so what happened? They grabbed old Jonah, and they, off he went. And as soon as he hit that water, the storm stopped, didn't it? As soon as he hit the water, boom, it stopped. And he goes, man. This is a guy that's got a bad God. I mean, the water went still right now. They began to make sacrifices, began to call, making vows. Man, they made all kinds of vows. See, because they knew that Jonah's God was the God of the calm the storm. See, now what happened here? I want to tell you something. Why did that storm stop? The storm stopped because that was the first step. See, that was Jonah's first step back to obedience. See, as soon as his foot hit that water, he was headed back to Nineveh. See, he would say, I'm on my way back to where God called me to go, and the storm stopped, it ceased, and he began a new journey. And there was instant fruit of that with the crew members. Instant fruit. When you go back to the place that God called you originally and begin to obey him, your first move toward that, there'll be fruit and there'll be peace. First step. He's on his way back to Nineveh. And there he was. But see, God prepared a fish for him. See, he had a place for him. The Lord responds to a disobedient people or prophet as he will prepare a fish for us. If we want to disobey him, he'll prepare a fish for us. Amen?
Amen.
How many have been in the fish?
Yes.
I believe a lot of you are in the fish this weekend. See, you're in the fish right now. And God wants to show you some things here. He's got your attention.
Yeah.
So you're here this morning, this afternoon, because God's got your attention. You got an oak limb beside your head saying, boom, I'm listening to me, boy. I'm talking to you. See? The good news is God doesn't give up on you. He could have let Jonah drown and got somebody else, couldn't he? But he didn't. And he got somebody else to do what he called you to do, but he ain't. That's Texas for, you know, y'all understand, ain't. Okay? Jonah didn't like his call to Nineveh. He went the opposite direction. He went down to Tarsus. He went down to the sea. He went down to the bottom of the sea. He went down to the bottom of the belly of the whale. He went all the way down. And some of y'all are all the way down. But some of y'all wouldn't be caught dead in deliverance camp. Some of you said, man, there are probably people walking with trench coats and sunglasses on. I'm here. But God got you a place where he said, I don't care anymore. I've had enough of what the religious system has to say and everything else. I need help. That's the bottom line. I need help. And here I am. And here we are. We're all in this thing together. Amen? And we're going to win it. Say it. We're going to win it. Amen. And here's the good part. Listen to this. If you don't remember anything I say, you remember this. God always brings us the easiest way that we will come. God will always bring us the easiest way that we'll come. See? Now here he is. Jonah's in a place of confinement. He's inside this whale. The whale eats him up. He's inside as well. I guarantee you, at that point in time, Jonah got, he caught up on his prayer life. He read all the Psalms. See? I mean, he is a place that he would get serious. See? Amen? And sometimes you get a place where you're getting serious with God. He's in a place of confinement. Now, confinement brings compression and forces us into reality. See? When you're in confined, your pressure increases. See? And what happens is you begin to focus. It brings you into a place of focusing. It brings you a place of focus. Amen? So you're confined, you're compressed, you're moving into reality. If you live, you will live in delusion if you're not put in the place of confinement. There's people walking around here that have not moved in this realm of confinement and they're living in delusion. They're just floating around, just, you know. You know? And God said, no, you, I'm putting you in a place of confinement. I want to talk to you. I want your attention for a few minutes. So how many know that God had Jonah's attention? No distractions there. God spoke to him right there in the middle of that whale. And so energy builds when you're under compression. The belly of the whale and Jesus' tomb had this one thing in common. Listen to this. This is great. This is good. I'm not spanking y'all, God. I'm giving y'all hope here in a few minutes. Y'all hang on to me. This is good stuff. You get a hold of it. The one thing they had in common were they were both places for launching. It was a place of launching for anointed ministries. The tomb that Jesus came forth out of was a place of his launching. And a whale's belly was a place of launching anointed ministry for Jonah. And it's a place that God wants to bring his brain to a place to launch you out in a new dimension. That's why you're there. And that's why God wants to set you free from it. You can go on and do what he's called you to do. It's a place of launching. It's not a place of, you can be there 3 days, 3 weeks, 30 years. It's your choice how long you want to stay there. You know, God's been putting his finger in all of some things in your life for a long time. Some of you. You kept been blowing off. No, it's over here. I got no problem. No. He said, here it is. And you know where it is. I've been trying to talk to you for a long time. Now, are you going to go my way or are you going to go your way? Your choice. Why have you been going your own way trying to find all those other reasons why you're like you are? And God had already shown you why you're like you are, but you didn't want to deal with it. He said, until you deal with it, you're going to stay in the whale's belly. However long is up to you. It's your choice. You choose it. This place of confinement could be your job. It could be your ministry. It could be your church. See, but if you run from that place, God will, if you run from what God's called you to, he'll prepare a fish for you. See? It could be a variety of things. Your relationship with wives, husbands, whatever it is. It could be a sin that God's dealing with you in. But that sin will wait you and confine you until you deal with it. It's got to be dealt with. Say good news. God wants to give us good news. The good news is this, that God spoke to Jonah a second time. Amen? Confinement is not permanent. Say that. Confinement is not permanent. See? Is that he spoke to him a second time. God spoke to the fish and the circumstances and to loosen him. I mean, have you seen a whale with ears? This whale had ears. Because God spoke to it and obeyed. He said, loosen him. And he loosened him. Amen? I mean, when God speaks, E.F. Hutton listens, I guarantee you. He's got a word. He speaks a word to you. That's it. Okay, now the whale vomited him out. Amen? Vomited out on the shore. I guarantee you this. When Jonah hit that ground, he was a running and he was a preaching. That boy didn't hesitate and bat one eye. Yes, in 40 days, Nineveh is over with. See, he didn't blink an eye. And what happened? The whole city got saved. Amen. So the whole city got saved because God gave Jonah a second chance. He's a God of second chances. If it wasn't, we'd all be in trouble. Amen? He's a God of second chances. He's here to give you a second chance if you'll obey him to hear you. And the enemy is trying to tell you all your life, all this time, no one will understand, no one will believe you, no one will care, I don't want to be embarrassed, I don't want to be... That's lies from Satan. God, the people that, when God speaks to you and asks you to do something, and the enemy comes to tell you what people are going to do, it's usually the complete opposite of what people really react to. Because most people will love you, understand. I'm going to tell you something, when you turn toward God, when the testimony is real and anointed of God and he delights, people, they'll swarm you.
See, because of God.
Amen.
See, God didn't want to embarrass you. He wants to free you. Amen? He wants to free us. And I tell you, I hit an area. I want to touch on it real quick. I feel a lot of people have a need for this area. I had it, like I said, on tape earlier, but I want to just hit on some highlights of it, of things of confinement. How many are tired of being confined? I'm tired of being confined. I'm preaching this thing to me too. See, you know, our ministry has gone through confinement here in areas. You know, people just, you know, I sit there and I look at areas of things that happen to us that don't happen to us, and how we sometimes get overlooked and passed by and things like this. And I'm saying, what's the problem here, God? Is it me? It usually is. And that's usually the first place I look, you know. And so I'm going to get comfortable if I can. And I'd roll my sleeve up, but it's already up. We're going to fight the devil here in a few minutes. I want to be ready to. But there's a story about Jonathan Winters, you know. And I looked at the people that are here, and my heart goes out to you so much. And I see an area I'm fixing to touch on right now that a lot of you have difficulty with. It's called shame. And allow you to understand shame. I'm going to try and highlight a few things for you. And we're going to pray for that. And there's other things here that God just wants to say to you, hey, you've been confined by this thing. It's held you back. It's slowed you down. It stopped you. And I want to let you go here. I want a new anointing to flow through you. I want a new release in your life. You know, I want to give you a second chance. See? How many heard of Jonathan Winters, the comedian? Remember Jonathan Winters? He used to be very popular a few years back. He's not so much anymore. He's a little older, but he hasn't been a lot of had exposure. But the comedian Jonathan Winters, he talked about shame from divorced parents. That's why his title is Shame from Divorced Parents. The comedian Jonathan Winters verified this fact that when he appeared as a guest on a television interview program, the host asked Mr. Winters to describe his early childhood. He became unusually serious as he spoke. Jonathan Winters is usually a pretty comical type guy, but this particular question, when he's addressed to him, he became very serious. He said he described the disintegration of his family when Jonathan was 7 years old and how deeply he was hurt by the divorce. He said the other children would tease and laugh at him because he didn't have a father. And he reacted with anger. He would fight his tormentors and shake his fist in their faces. But when they were not looking, he would go often behind a tree or a building, and there he would cry. Mr. Winters indicated that he later learned to laugh his way out of trouble, but admitted that all of his adult humor is in response of deep sorrow. A lot of guys, you know, I was the type of guy, I mean, I like to have fun. I used to be a real comedian, I mean, really, back in my early days, and a prankster and these types of things. I still play with it a little bit, but don't indeed. But a lot of times people react to certain things like that because of the area of shame, trying to disguise themselves, try to be accepted, try to be one of the guys or one of the girls, and try to have a place. And God is saying to you that you don't have to go through all that, that He'll prepare a place for you if you allow Him to. He wants you to move into a position with dignity. He wants you to move into a position that He's called you into with honor and integrity. He wants to bless you, people. He wants to bless you. He wants to do it His way. And as you begin to get a glimpse of what He has for your life, and we're going to ask God to give you a vision for your life today also, but we need to work in this area of shame. The definition Webster gives for shame is dishonor or disgrace or feeling of unworthiness. Shame will cloak you. It hides or conceals you. See, have you ever walked into a room sometimes and you feel like people don't even know you're even there? See, that's shame cloaking you. You try to say something, try to express things, and people don't hear your words. It's like, oh yeah, you hear? See, that's shame cloaking you. That's a demon spirit. And God wants to release that off of your life. It can cause you to be overlooked for promotion, feel not valued. Shame is like a grindstone. Shame gnaws.
eating away at it and destroying the victim from the inside out. See? By eroding your strength and confidence, slowly all self-respect is destroyed. Shame will disable and hinder effective service for the Lord. It shuts you down. I mean, you walked into rooms and people felt shut down. See, so a lot of times it's shame. Not always, but a lot of times it's shame. Biblical foundations. There's over 150 scriptures concerning shame. It's usually coupled with other words. It's shame and defeat, shame and reproach, shame, nakedness, folly, contempt, worthless. Poverty, unseemliness, cruelty, nothingness. Same shame is usually attached with something else. Amen. Sin is the primary source of all shame. You can either be born with it, inherited wise, or you can accumulate it. Most of us were born with it. I feel the way we are today, the society is. I think most people are born with shame on them from an inherited situation. Sin is the primary cause. Scripturally, the first of these is nakedness. Having a dualistic meaning physically and spiritually, as far as being naked. Genesis 2:25, the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed. But after they sinned, they were ashamed of their nakedness in God's presence. Shame. One of the worst things that Israel or Hebrew could do to his enemy was put shame upon them. The worst thing that a Hebrew could do was shame his enemy. I shame you. Most of us grow up as kids, shame on you, you heard that? You know, you need to rebuke those words. Words that cut you, they'll tear you apart, man. Words have life or death in them. I remember I was a boy, I shared this before, but when I was a boy, I was about, probably in the fourth or fifth grade, maybe I had a bicycle. I rode to Santa Monica, California, and wanted to buy some handlebar grips with little streamers on them. My mother gave me some money to go buy them, so I went downtown to buy them. And when I bought them, I didn't have enough money. I was like about 4 or 5 cents short, maybe 4 pennies, something like that. And the guy said, well, next time you're down, you know, bring the money and we'll settle up then. I said, okay. And I had to ride like 4 or 5 miles to get to this place. So I rode back home. And I showed my mother the handlebar grips, and I was so proud of them. She said, do you have enough money? I said, I'm short about 4 cents. So she dug in my purse there, and she got 4 pennies out. I said, here, take it back to the man. I said, but Mom, that's 4 or 5 miles. She said, you owe the man 4 cents? Take it back to the man. I got on a bicycle. I rode all the way back downtown. Walked in. I'll never forget it. I can smell the rubber right now. It's a bicycle shop. The counter was, to me at that time, was about this high, you know. And I walked up. This guy owner was talking to the man. And I put the 4 cents on top of the counter. I said, there you are, sir. I started walking away. And he looked at the coins. He looked at me. He said these words. And these words rang in my ear my entire life. They ring in my ear today. He said to this other guy, he said, there he goes, an honest young man. And I went into my spirit. The words have life or death. And all my life, I've made mistakes, but I've always tried to be an honest man. Always tried to be honest with everything I did and said. They have life or death. There's people here that's been verbally abused, been shamed, scorned, scolded. And God wants to set you free. He will set you free. Several scriptures I could read off here to you concerning shame. Foolish living in Proverbs 3:35. Foolish living and unwise actions will bring shame upon you and your family. Proverbs 10:5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. See, I heard a preacher say, I heard a highway patrolman say one time, this has nothing to do with, it's not a clergy statement, but concerning our leadership of our nation, and I'll say it this way, okay? He said, I've had many leaderships, people in leadership in our nation that I didn't always agree with. A lot of political situations I didn't always agree with. This highway patrolman looked at me and said, but I never have had one that I was ashamed of like I am today. See, bringing shame. Sin brings shame upon a family. Sin brings shame upon a nation. Sin brings shame upon a church. Sin will shame us, bring shame upon us. But we have the power and ability to release it from us. Amen? And God wants to show us how to do that. I coached Little League as a boy. As a young man, I coached Little League. I played Little League as a boy. And I had my background. I want to tell you something about my background. I'll just get off on that real quick so we won't have time to pray for people. But I was raised in an alcoholic situation. My real father left me when I was 2 years old. I don't even remember seeing his face. I never have seen a picture of him. I have no idea. I knew he was a bootlegger in Texas and in Paris, Texas areas. And he eventually went to prison for several years for a variety of crimes. And I never laid eyes upon him. When he got out of prison the last time, he was shot in the chest 6 times and was killed. And I never laid eyes on my father. So I was raised with a stepfather who was an alcoholic, who was abusive. And I spent a lot of times on the streets. I wasn't home much, you know. And just through prayer and just people undergirding me, that I didn't end up in jail myself. I just had enough sense to know this is not good. I get around a bad crowd or people heading the wrong direction. I say, no, this is not good. I need to back off from this and go a different direction. Now, I was always involved in athletics of some kind, and that kept me kind of busy. But as I grew up, I coached Little League baseball. And as I began to coach baseball, I had a kid that was taken home from practice one night. And his name was Tommy. And I remember I had four or five kids in the car. I said, Tommy, where do you live at? He said, oh, just let me off at the corner here. See? I knew where he was coming from because, see, I used to get let off at the corner. And see, I know what it was like to go to school with cardboard in my shoes to cover the holes up. See, so that I could keep the water out. You know, I know what it was like not to have a coat and to go to school and it'd be cold. And he said, I'm not really cold. I'll stick it out. See, I've been through that. I've been through not having people come over to my house because my father, my stepdad was an alcoholic and his beer cans all over the place. And the alley had a number one wash tub he'd fill up every other night. And I looked at Tommy and I said, Tommy, that's okay. And I let the other guys off their houses. I kept Tommy in the car. I looked over at Tommy and said, Tommy, I want to tell you something, son. I said, I love you. And I said, I don't care where you live. I don't care what your mom and dad do or don't do. You know, you're a fine young man. I don't care what kind of house you live in or don't live in. I appreciate you as a person. And let me take you home. And he began to cry, and I held him. But see, what happened that day was I took him home. I lifted shame off of him. Didn't even know it then. But words can lift it off of him. He produced. He began to play ball with confidence and assurance. His abilities changed. And his whole direction was changed. I don't know, someday I might see him. You know, down the road, and perhaps we could talk again. But I know what happened that day. The shame was lifted. And God was lifted off of you this morning. You let him? Am I speaking to anybody today? Place of confinement. Shame will confine you. It confined me. It robbed my confidence. Right? I couldn't feel comfortable around men. I felt comfortable around women, but I get around men, I couldn't flow to them because of the restrictions. I remember a story about, I want to tell one story, and we're going to pray. This guy came in for counseling one time, and he said his wife was leaving him, and he didn't know what the problem was, and he began to cry, share some things with him, and he said, let's pray, and the counselor began to pray, and as they began to pray, he said, I said to the counselor, I see a young boy standing in a blue suit on. Does that mean anything to you? And the guy just began to break into and began to weep and weep and weep and cry. And finally he got his composure and he said, what does it mean to you? He said, when I was a boy, I was raised on a farm in Kansas. My father was a hardworking man. He was a farmer. He wasn't a very educated man, but he was a hardworking man. And he was so good to us. He worked hard for us. And I went to school and my dad wanted me to go to school and get education. It's come time for graduation. Man, he wanted me to graduate from school, just get an education. And I worked hard and said, you know, come time for graduation. And come time for graduations, I got everything ready. And I began to save my money that I'd saved from my allowance and working on the farm. And I went down and bought me a new suit, blue suit. And I put it on. I was ready for graduation. And I got in a car, my pickup truck, my dad's pickup, and we drove to the graduation high school. And I got there, and I got out of the pickup truck, and my father drove off. And I said, it broke my heart. I worked so hard. And my father just leaves me there. He said, let's ask the Lord to renew this situation. He said, did your father take you home? I said, yeah, he did. Let's ask the Holy Spirit just to help us here. And perhaps show us the side of the fence your father was on. And he did. He said, the Holy Spirit took him in a pickup truck, and he asked his father. He said, now tell your dad how you feel. I said, Dad, I was disappointed that you didn't come to my graduation. God, I worked out my life. I was the first one of our whole family to graduate from high school. I was so excited, so proud. He just dropped me off and just left me there. He didn't even come. Didn't even pay attention. Why? He said, Dad began to weep. He said, Son, I wanted to go so bad. I wanted to be with you that night, but I was so proud of you. He said, but, you know, I was so ashamed. I didn't have an education. I didn't feel comfortable with these people. I didn't feel I could flow with them. I said, I didn't have any clothes to wear. I didn't want, he said, son, I didn't want to be an embarrassment to you. Shame runs deep sometimes, don't it? We need to understand where our parents come from, too. If I'm talking to you this morning or this afternoon, I want you to stand on your feet right now. Stand on your feet. If I'm talking to you, yes. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Precious people. Oh, God. These precious people. Oh, Father. Just raise your hands to them. Would you do that? Pray with me if you would, okay? Say, Father. I need you. I know you're not disappointed in me. Forgive me, Father. I ask you to take all the shame off of me. Release me from all the effect. Every sin involved. In my bloodline. I confess it. Release me from it. Release my children from it. Take it off. Release this shame. Release this shame. Yes, Lord. Just be quiet a second. Raise your hands. He's going to begin to lift it off you one at a time. You'll feel it leaving you. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Yes, Terry, let it go, honey. Let it go, sister. Yes, Lord. Let it go. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Yes, Lord. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go, Father. Father, we bind the spirit of shame. Have no more ground root, no more root in this people today, Father. We sever its ties. It's very hour. We ask in Jesus' name to release them all. To release them all, Father. Release them all. Release them all. Even from the inheritance, the embarrassments of childhood, disgrace, Father, I release them from that, God. Every memory, I ask you to erase the memories that were shameful to them, God. I ask you to release every cloak off of them, Father, in Jesus' name. Every cloak of shame off of them, I ask you to release them, Father. In release them right now from every cloak of shame, every form of embarrassment over them, God. Every time they walk into a room or something happens that's disgraceful, Father God, there's many men here that are driven to success because of shame and the embarrassment thereof, Father God. They haven't been able to be arrested. They haven't rested entire life, Father, because of the shame. God, I ask you to release these men right now from the shame that drives them to be successful, God. They're to be a guided people, not a driven people, God. We ask you to begin to guide and direct their lives, not to push them like the devil pushes them, Father. We ask you to release them from that drive right now. Oh, in Jesus' name. Release these women, Father God, right now from the verbal abuse. All verbal abuse of shame, God, in their lives, God. Release them right now. Every word spoken in disgrace, all incest, I ask you to release this precious... Release these precious women from the incest, Lord, and the molestation, God. The times they were molested as a child, Father God, release them. Even the men, Father. Even the men, God. Oh, da, 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 da. Yes, Carol, come help me pray, honey. Yes, help me. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Father. Lord, just take from us all, Father, all rejection and shame, Lord. All the feeling of rejection, Lord, and never feeling like we've measured up. No matter what we've done, we never quite could do it good enough. Take that off, Lord. It affects our future. We have a destiny, Lord, and this is standing in the way today, and we're asking that you remove it, Lord. Remove all the shame, Father, of poverty. All the shame, Lord, of not being educated, Lord. All the shame, Father, of sexual sins, Lord. All the shame, Father, of fear, Lord. Deliver, God, from all unworthiness, Lord. Break that power of unworthiness, Lord, that has kept us from receiving the blessings of God. Father, the enemy has put into our minds that we're not worthy of the better things of God. And Lord, I'm asking that you remove that curse of shame. I command it to lift off of them right now. I tear down and break the power of that stronghold of shame. I command it to leave these precious people right now in the name of Jesus. I command it to go. I command the guilt to go. I command condemnation to go. Father, we give it all to you today, Lord. All the past, the things that have brought heartache, the things that have brought shame. Father, we give it to you. We release it unto you, Lord. Take the, Father, the weight off of them, Father. Take it off of their shoulders, God. Deliver in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Deliver in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Praise you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, well, it's okay. Let it go. Let it go. Some of these things run very deep. Yes. Yes, yes.
Lord, Father, right now, not only for the shame, but for abandonment, God.
Yes.
Father, I'm asking that you release every person here from that's not had a father to cover them, Lord. Father, we just release abandonment right now in Jesus' name.
Yes,
Father, I'm asking that the spiritual covering of a father would come down over us, Lord. For those that have not had the right proper covering, Father.
Yes,
and
Lord.
Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Father, that today, Father, that you are going to launch us out of the belly of that whale, God, to meet our destiny, to meet our future,
Father.
God.
Yes,
Father, today we repent of running from you, God. And Father, we say, lead us on, Father. We want to hit Nineveh preaching and the glory of God on our life, Father. And Father, we ask that launching tomb would, the doors would be open this day, Father. Lord Jesus, we just ask that you take all the hurt out too, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes,
Jesus.
There's also, I feel in some of us, there's roots of bitterness. You know, deep disappointment will bring bitterness into our heart. When you've been disappointed over and over and over again, it's wired me up. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. You know, when you've been disappointed over and over and over again, when answers to prayer don't come, I know what I'm talking about. Everything that we minister, we usually live through. And there's a lot of, you know, that when you've been disappointed over and over again, what does that do? It brings grief. And what does grief do? It embraces death. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear? I'm telling you, grief is a deadly enemy. And let's get some grief out of us. Because that will hinder us. Not only will it hinder us, it will cut our lifespan short. And I wish I had it. Okay, right now. Let's first start with bitterness.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Listen, I want everything God has for me. You know, and we pray all the time. We've been Christians all the time, and all the bitterness still isn't out of me.
Yes.
Let's be transparent here. Okay, let's be transparent. You know, we all have bitterness to some degree or another. Whatever it is, you know, I was saying that we want to know the love of God in our life. But in order to draw closer to Him, in the Song of Solomon, the Beloved, she said when she got closer to the King, she saw how dark she was. Listen, when we get closer to the King, we see all of those imperfections in us. And He wants to take them out of us, doesn't He? Right now, let's ask, I want if there's a specific thing in bitterness or even inherited bitterness. I found in my family line that in my family line there was a lot of bitterness. And wherever that root came in, I want to take accountability. I want to stand in the gap that stops from now on. Amen, amen. Father, take out, Father, right now, put your hand over your heart.
I'm in oneness here. Come on.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Listen, we're here to help you the best that we can with the Lord Jesus. Father, right now, I pull out every root of bitterness, God. I pull it out, Father. I release those people, Father, that have hurt me. I
don't
release
worry about her.
Disappointments in Jesus' name. I pull out every root of bitterness, God, and I choose to forgive in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take it out of me. Take it out of us, Lord. Take every root of bitterness out of us, Father. We rip it out by the very root, God. And Father, right now, we right now, from all the disappointments and the things in life, we want grief to leave us right now. Right now, say, I command grief to go. I command grief to leave me right now. I command you to go. I command grief to come out of me. I command you to leave me now. I command the spirit of death to come out of me. I command the spirit of death and grieving to leave me. I command the spirit of barrenness to come out of me. We can. This is not a gender thing, but you can be spiritually barren, you can be financially barren, you can be barren in ministries, you can be barren in relationships. This is a spiritual thing. And Father, I'm asking that you release me from the curse of barrenness in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I command barrenness to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We command it to go, Father. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Yes, Lord. We command it to go. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We command it to go. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Let's ask the Lord to take anger out of us. Yes. That's a hindrance. Father, right now, all inherited anger, God. Father, all the anger that we've inherited in our life. Father, anger that we inherited through bestiality in our bloodline. We command it to leave right now in Jesus' name. We confess it as sin, and we ask that it go. We ask that it leave. We command it to go in Jesus' name. We command anger to leave us from this day forward in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, praise you, Father, praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, praise you, Lord, take it out of her, take it out of her, take it out of her right now in Jesus' name. Take it out of her, take it out of her, then command this grief to go in the spirit of death. I command you to come out of her right now in the name of Jesus to set her free today. I command you to come out of her, the spirit of death. The spirit of widowhood no longer. Yes, Lord, release that spirit of widowhood today, sister. Release the spirit of widowhood today in Jesus' name. Release it today. I commit that loved one unto you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Command the spirit of widowhood to be gone. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Can I pray for you? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You know, I feel the Lord wants to say to you that there's some people that you've been in connected with in your past that still have a power over you that's hindering you. And He wants to release you from those people, that ungodly soul ties. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on, watch Him. The Lord wants to release them from some ungodly soul ties from the past of some people. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. 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 Yes, Father, take it out of her. New beginnings, even for my sister. Oh, God, new beginnings. Oh, God, even, Lord, I just ask for a new impartation for healing in her hands, God, when she touches people, to impart healing, spiritual healing, physical healing, Lord. I ask that you do it right now, God. And I ask that you wash and cleanse her hands of all sin, that her hands would be set apart for holy service, Lord. Right now, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. 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 Look right at him. Look right at him in your mind's eye and forgive him. You felt contained and held back and held down. You felt like you've been in a kind of like an invisible black cloud. And it's brought grief into you because you haven't been able to move out like you wanted to move out. Right now, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Father, right now, Lord, I'm asking you to look right at him, to look right at him and whisper to him, I will lose your pain, and I will not carry your sin. But I will not carry your sin. I will not be the scapegoat.
No, not be the scapegoat.
And I am not the head of this house. I will not the head of this. I will turn this over to the Lord. I will turn this over to the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes,
Father,
yes, Lord.
Lift this black cloud off of her. Lift this black cloud that shuts her down. And she is the same. And the grief that came in for not being able to teach your life.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I feel the Lord going to continue going in and healing. And if he shows you
the we'll sing this chorus together. Can we sing this?
He'll stand
on holy ground. And I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus. We all stand. Listen to me a second. Listen to me. Those that aren't praying, I want you to listen to me. There's one word in the Hebrew. There's the word of praise. It's a Hebrew word of praise. It's the highest word of praise you can speak. And if you learn this word, it's not a hard word, but we're going to speak it here, okay? As we speak it, I believe that the anointing of God will come in. And when you leave this place, when you walk into your home, your church, you begin to shout this word. The word is called Tehillah. Tehillah. Not tequila, but Tehillah. Tehillah. That's the word. Yeah, can you feel it? Tehillah. 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 Oh, Tehillah. 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 Tehillah, yes, Lord. That's the highest word in Hebrew for praise of the Most High God. You begin to speak that word, demons flee. They can't stand that word. They've heard it for a long time. Amen. Bless you, bless you, bless you. If you need more prayer, we'll leave people up here for that. I'll turn it back over to Brother Glenn right now. Unless you want me to pray for the supper or whatever you want to do. Carol, Deanna, do you have anything else you want to say or do here? Deanna and Carol, okay? Okay. Father, we thank you for this time together. We pray that there'll be fruit that will remain here, Father. And we ask you, thank you for deliverance, Father God. We thank you for those that have been received and touched from you. We ask you to bless this food in a time of fellowship, Father, as we leave and go forth in our rooms and prepare for the evening service. Bless the speakers for tonight. Bless Brother Speed, Father, as he prepares for tonight. Sanctify the food. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.